kind of cool. Is my microphone on this morning? How about now? Check. Oh, it fell off. I was the one who's going like this. I had so many wires on me this morning.
How about now? Yeah, I had to dewire a little bit and knock some of my wires off. Well, good morning, church. It's good to sing with you, and now we get to jump into the Word together. It's kind of fun. Pastor Isaiah got to preach last week, and that was kind of fun, second string. Pastor said, I'm going to be out this Sunday. Would you do it? I said, yeah, call in the third string. Here we are. So you're stuck with me this morning, and we're going to jump into the Word this morning and see what God has for us. Now, usually and typically when I get to stand in front of you, I like to have fun. I like to cut up. But I'm going to be honest with you. Today's message is a little bit, how do I say this? I struggled with what the Lord laid on my heart to share this morning. I struggled because it wasn't where I wanted to preach from. It wasn't what I wanted to bring to you today. Because I've spoke to you this word similarly in the past. And so I was like, Lord, I've kind of touched on this. And every time I try to go somewhere else, he'd come back to this. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to be obedient today. So in that, I feel like maybe this is a word for someone who's here today. Because the Lord doesn't make mistakes. And when we're seeking him and praying to him and asking him to guide us, he's going to bring us to what he wants us to speak. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at all kinds of scriptures this morning. And we're going to be addressing this one word. Perseverance. And I want to be proud of me and James today. We spelled it right, man. I'm so proud of you. It took both of our brains together to make sure we got this word correct. The thing that the Lord has laid on my heart is several different things this morning, but I want to start off with simply this idea that we as an American church as a whole have kind of messed this Christianity thing up. The American version of Christianity, a lot of times in people's lives, is a narrative that has been modified from what the Scripture tells us that Christianity should be. We begin to add things. We begin to soften things. We begin to look at the Lord in the way that we want to see him rather than what the Lord says that he is. And so the problem we have with it is we rely on our own thoughts, our own interpretations, our own feelings, if you will, about what Christianity is and what we should expect when we come to Christ. One of the things that I saw on social media this week was a post by a guy named James Bell. James Bell says this. He says, "We have created a version of Christianity that costs very little. We attend when it's convenient. We give when it's comfortable. We serve when it fits our schedule." But Jesus never called people to convenience. He called them to surrender, to take up a cross, to die to oneself, and to follow him fully. And somewhere along the way, we replaced that call with something far easier, which is why so many people claim faith, but they never experience a transformation. Because transformation always costs something. Now, I just want to kind of lay it out. You know, I usually get the fun, jokey kind, and we're going to have a little fun today as we get into scriptures. But here's the one thing I need you to know. When you lay down your life and you surrender it to the Lord, you have literally surrendered it to the Lord. And then he is the Lord, he's the God, he's the shepherd, he shows you which way your life should go. Now the problem with that is we've Americanized this faith that we have, and we believe a lot of times, many of us believe in America, not necessarily here, but in America we believe that coming to Jesus makes our life really easy, that it's a convenience thing, that it's like I can feel better about myself and therefore I am okay, but the Lord and the scriptures never say that. The Bible tells us that when you come to Christ and you lay down your life, you have sacrificed your life to him, that he is Lord of it. He says this, simply, you're going to have some trouble. Life is not going to be easy. It's not going to be a bed of roses. You're not going to get up and eat grapes and someone fan you with a big old fan, you know, grape leaf every morning. It's not going to be that way. You're going to go through some things. And in fact, the scriptures tell us, and through all these examples, that when you identify with Christ, the world will then come against you. That's what it wants to do. It wants to tear you down. It wants to keep your eyes off of him. So the Bible is very clear when it comes to this word called perseverance. For those of us who have surrendered our lives to him, we have some expectations that come along with it. And the expectation is that we're going to go through some stuff. And when we go through some stuff, the scriptures tell us how to go through that stuff. When we first come to Christ, sometimes we mistakenly think that life is going to be easy from here on out. But it turns out the Christian life is described more as a marathon than it is a sprint. If you guys ever watched the marathon runners on TV or the Olympics, I've got a friend that I follow. He's a big old guy. He's a pastor from Mississippi. He's a video game nerd. And he decided that he wanted to become healthy. He had a health scare in his life. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? At 360 pounds, he decided to start training for a marathon. A marathon. And I'm sitting here like, brother, you go on ahead. And in 60 days, he started running. He's already dropped like 60-something pounds. I mean, he is losing weight hand over fist. But he's training for a marathon. And people are on social media because he's filming this as he goes along his process. And they're like, wow, you go with all this stuff. And I got to thinking, what's he doing running a marathon? Right? That's 20-something miles. Then I got to thinking, I'd rather run a marathon than a 100-yard sprint. You know what I mean? I played football when I was in high school, man. I was the second slowest guy on the team. That's how fast I am, right? And so I just remember the other guy, his name was Adrian, and we would always compete to see who would be next to last because one of us was going to be last. I am not fast. But this spiritual life is a marathon. It is not a sprint. And what marathoners do is they train for the power of endurance. They trained their bodies to continue a steady pace so they can continually, methodically keep going. Even when they're tired, their body is trained to keep going forward at that pace. See, the biblical definition of this word, of perseverance, is simply this. It is a steadfastness. If you're going to take notes, write this down. Perseverance is steadfastness under pressure and endurance in the face of trials. Write that down. Perseverance is steadfastness under pressure and endurance in the face of trials. Billy Graham had something to say about this. Billy Graham said one time, patience includes perseverance, which is the ability to bear up under weariness, strain, and persecution when doing the work of the Lord. John Piper kind of continued this thought in his quote, and he said this, "The fight of faith is a fight to persevere in trusting God. And the way you persevere in trusting God is by fighting for joy in him." My wife and I started at the beginning of the year in February, we started a Bible study. Tara Lee Cobble hosts it, and we listen to the scripture every day, and we listen to a little bit of commentary. The goal is to read the Bible in a year, and some of you guys are kind of on that journey with us. We kind of posted on social media when we got started, and one of the things she ends every one of her Bible studies with is this: he is where the joy is. He is where the joy is. So Piper's right. We strive for the joy that is found in him. So today we're going to look at what the scriptures say about this fight to endure. Not only what he says about it, but how it changes us as we persevere through this world. And not only that, where we can find the strength to actually persevere. So one thing we need to know right off the bat is this, simply this. We need to accept that no matter where we are in life, when we surrender our life, no matter what it looks like at that moment, that trials are going to come. The Bible tells us this, that trials are going to come. It's a reality. Jesus was really honest with this when he talked to us in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. If you have your scriptures, it's real simple. Flip to it real quick. John 16, 33. It says this at the bottom. "In this world, you will have trouble." Now, here's the deal. when I hear other people tell me things, I'm like, oh, that's cool, yeah, and I believe you. When Jesus says something, don't you think we ought to believe it? You know, he ain't just like, you know, Amy telling me something. She's like, hey, Brian, we have a meeting on Sunday. Great, I trust Amy, we're going to have a meeting on Sunday. Jesus says it, I know we're going to have a meeting on Sunday, right? So Jesus tells us this. He says, I have spoken to you that you may have peace. In this world, you have tribulation. Or my version in the New Living Translation says this, you will have trouble. But then it says, but take courage. Or my version says, take heart. I have overcome the world. See, listen, everybody's going to face struggles. We're all going to go through some things. But how do we deal with them? If we're going to persevere, if we're going to push past all this thing, if we're going to bear up under the weight of the things that we go through in this world, like Billy Graham said, then what do we do with them? James, who was Jesus' brother, said it like this in the book of James chapter 1. Right off the get-go, he says this in verse 2. He says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, James, come on. When trials of any kind come your way, consider it great joy. Hey, raise your hand if you love when bad stuff happens. I don't see anybody raising their hand. No one likes that. But here's James, and James says, look, man, when bad stuff happens, when trials come your way, you should consider it joy. Now, here's the deal. James is not telling us to jump up and down and scream and holler. There's a difference between happiness and joy. A big difference. Oh, Lord, that bill came in and I cannot pay it. Fantastic. No. Mm-mm. Woo-hoo, I just got fired from a job. No, none of us will be excited about that. But James, he says, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Difference between happiness and joy. We'll get to that in a minute. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete and needing nothing. Listen, James doesn't tell us to be joyful for no reason. He gives us a reason to be joyful. He gives us a reason to find the joy in the tough times, the times when things go wrong. He's not asking us to celebrate the pain that we're going through. He's not saying, woohoo, yeah, no. But he says, find the joy in it. And he says, we are joyful because we know the trial is producing something. If we're going through something in life, no matter what it is, we know Jesus says you're going to have trouble, you're going to have trials, so we're going through it. James says if you're going through it, it's not being wasted on you, it's producing something in you, it's causing something to happen, and so we need to understand that we are not supposed to celebrate the pain, but we're joyful because we know we're going through it for a reason, that trial is producing something, and what James tells us is that God is using our struggles to develop us, to fine-tune us and our relationship with Him. He's pointing out the things in our faith that are weak, and He's pointing out the things in our faith that are strong. He's always working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars. Wait, that's a kid's song, right? Oh, but it's true. He's continuously working on you and I, refining us into what He's called us to be. Listen, once we understand that these things are going to happen, that trials are going to come, that tribulations happen to us, bad things happen to us, we need to understand that it is a process. James is not wrong. God is working on us, and this is simply what we call in the big speak, the idea of sanctification. It is making us more like Jesus. There is a process that we go through when you surrender your life to Jesus. You don't come to Jesus and become exactly like Him at that moment. No, your sins are forgiven. They are washed away as far as the east is from the west. If you surrender your life to Him and you repent of your sins and you admit and believe that He is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, you are saved. You are a believer. But you don't become immediately like Jesus. See, people have a concept. They're like, well, I need to stop this and then come to Jesus. No, you come to Jesus and he'll start working on you. See, what's interesting about sculptors, and if you've ever seen some of the beautiful work of arts that are made out of stone, if you've ever been, has anybody ever been to like Mount Rushmore before? No one? Okay. You have. Okay, one person. Thank you, sister. I was like, someone in this auditorium. Sure. You know what's interesting about those type sculptures is that they make those beautiful pieces of art by taking something away. Right? They start with this huge stone, this huge rock, and they begin to chip away at the stuff that shouldn't be there. And when they get done with it, it's this beautiful, perfect work of art. See, Jesus does that for you and I. It's this process of sanctification. It's like we come to him, we're saved, but we're just this big old nasty boulder with all this stuff on us. And he says, all right, this ain't going to be fun. It's going to be hard. You're going to go through some stuff in life, but at the same time, when you see those trials come, I'm going to knock off this little piece of you and watch the way you react to it. You know that anger that you got? I'm going to work on that, and we're going to move that to the side. You know that worry and anxiety? Let's get rid of a little bit of that, because if you trust in me, I've got to take care of everything that comes your way. It's a process of becoming more like Jesus. Perseverance is God's tool for our sanctification. And through perseverance, we can learn to trust the Lord in deeper ways. Paul kind of lays out some things in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans 5, 3 through 5, he lays this progression out. Listen to it. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Again, there's this idea of having joy in suffering. We rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Listen, do you see this chain reaction that Paul's talking about here? Do you see how it kind of one thing happens and then another thing happens and another thing happens? We don't get that Christ-like character overnight. We grow toward maturity in our faith through perseverance in difficult times. We develop into people who understand God's love, and in turn, we begin to genuinely love other people, even amidst our own suffering and the craziness that we're going through. Peter actually kind of echoes what Paul just said in the book of 1 Peter in the first chapter. He reminds us that our faith is of greater worth than gold. And y'all, I like me some gold. Y'all seen the price of gold lately? It says our faith is greater than gold, and it is refined by the fires of our trials that we go through. It says, I mean, your faith, when heated up through the fire trial, all the bad stuff bubbles to the top. And Jesus just takes it and gets rid of all the dross, gets rid of all the nastiness and impurities. He's making us more like Christ. So when you feel the heat of the furnace of the trials that you're going through each and every day, remember this, that God's burning away your bad attitudes, your habits, and making your outlook more like Jesus. So we know trials are going to come. We know that God's going to be chipping away on us, and Jesus is going to be teaching us how to live like him. The third thing we need to understand is, how do we actually plan a strategy to endure? So, Pastor, you're telling me that if I come to Jesus this morning and I start this journey of faith with him, number one, I'm going to tell you it's the best decision you've ever made, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it and tell you that it's going to be easy. It's going to be one of the hardest journeys for the rest of your life. The Bible tells us this because the Bible knows that even in the scripture it says, broad is the way to destruction, narrow is the gate to life, and few are those who find it, because those who come to him must lay down their lives and must surrender to him. So you're saying, Pastor, if I come and I surrender my life to Jesus and I start this journey, it's going to be tough? Yes, it's going to be tough. Oh, it's going to be rewarding. It's going to be worth it. You're going to have a church family right here rooting you on. We're going to hold your hand and show you the ways that the Lord tells us to do in the scriptures. But it's going to be not going to be easy. But we have to plan a strategy for endurance. If you're going to fully surrender to the Lord, he has a plan given to you to endure. to make sure that you are persevering through the things of this world. How do we do it? How do we do it in this life when we get news that stops us in our tracks? When that call comes in and the doctor says, it's cancer. When we get the call from someone and tell us that we've lost one of our loved ones. When that child comes home and delivers the news that is so devastating and disappointing to us. How do we push past this? As believers, how do we get past the stuff of this world? Because in this world, you will have trouble. Where do we look? Well, the author of Hebrews kind of sets us up with some success here. Hebrews chapter 12, you know, it tells us a lot about what we do and the plan. It says this. Hebrews has the master strategy. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Listen, here's your strategy, right? Look to Jesus. It's the only way that we can make it through this world. Look to Jesus. Look what the first part of this verse says, though. It says, on this one, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. When I read that verse, you know what sometimes I think about? Y'all remember when David went to face Goliath? What did he ultimately run into the battle with? Just old sling, right? But if you back up a few verses, did you know they were trying to outfit him in armor? They were trying to protect him at all costs. They're like, hey, man, this dude's 9 foot tall. You're just a boy. So here's the king's armor. And y'all remember what David did? He tried it on, and he was like, man, I can't move like this. Get this off me. I need to be able to be mobile and agile, right? I need to be able to sling this sling. I've got a God who's going to protect me. I've got a God who's going with me. So get rid of it. It reminds me of that when it says, get rid of the things that hinder us, right? My question is, what are you holding on to for protection? Is there something that's got you anxious and worried and you're holding on to? Listen, Hebrews tells us, get rid of that stuff that's going to hinder you. Get rid of it. Not only get rid of it, it says, get rid of that sin that entangles you. Listen, if we're going to make it in this world, if we're going to make it to see Jesus face to face, we're going to persevere through this life, the one thing you need to know is get rid of the things that hinder you and then do a self-examination of where you are. Listen, every one of us has sin in our life. And old Satan, he knows what your sin is, right? I always use this illustration. It's like me going fishing. If I'm going bass fishing, I know what lure that a bass likes. I'm going to use a watermelon red, you know, worm or something like that. I'm going to wacky rig it and turn it sideways, and I'm going to try to get that bass. You think a perch is going to bite on that? Nah, it won't. So Satan knows. Satan knows what your sin is. It's not probably the same as mine. But whatever your little sin of choice is, he's going to bait you. He's going to go after you and try to get you to do that so that you won't have your eyes on the Lord. That's why Hebrews says this, get rid of the things that entangle you. Get rid of the sins. And then run. Run with your eyes on Jesus. Those marathon runners break my heart sometimes. Have you ever seen the marathon runners who are like from me to the back door from the finish line? And they're coming in, man. And they do this number right here. They look back to see who's behind them. They want to see who's behind them, how close their competition is. And just by doing that, a runner, if I'm running and I turn back around, you know what I can't do? I can't hardly run straight. Can't look behind us. Look what the Bible tells us about this. We're called to keep our attention strictly on Jesus. So if I'm running a race and I'm doing this, I'm not looking at Jesus. I'm looking at the things in the past. or if I'm looking beside me, I'm looking at things in the now. What I'm looking and supposed to be focused on is the future. See, here's one of the things that Satan wants to do. What the world wants to bring us down is they want us to keep focused on the past. They want us to look in the rearview mirror. Can you imagine driving down the highway and look at the rearview mirror the entire time? How quick would we run into something? We would run into something, we'd crash, we'd veer off the road, we'd do something. You can't look in the past. Y'all, Satan wants to keep us bound by our past mistakes. Hebrews says, throw off that sin. Get rid of that stuff that entangles you. Don't look in the back. Don't look at your situation currently. Look at the future. Look at Jesus. Focus in on Him. God's got a lot of stuff for us to do. We can't wallow in the pain of the past. We can't rest on the things that we were good at in the past. Come on. Somebody say amen. God's got a lot more for us to do. We've got to throw off all these distractions and the sins that weigh us down, or else we can give up. Or we might even begin to run a race that He never lined out for us to run. Our ultimate reward is this. Finally, we persevere because we have an eternal perspective. Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament, faced a lot of stuff. If you remember a couple months ago, Pastor preached through a lot of the things that Paul was going through. Paul endured several things: beatings, shipwrecks, intense persecution. And yet listen at Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what he says. He calls all of these sufferings, remember, beatings? I've never been beat before. I mean, as a kid, I kind of thought I did when I was getting whipped, but that's not a beating. That's just punishment. That's correction. He was beat. I got one fight when I was a kid. I punched a dude. He punched me back. We shook hands, walked off, and were best friends. That was it. I've never been beat before, but I tell you what, that punch he landed on my face hurt. That lip that busted hurt. He was beat. Shipwrecks. Intense persecution. Listen what Paul says. He describes those sufferings as light and momentary troubles. Light and momentary troubles. A shipwreck, that's light. Beatings, momentary troubles. How could he say that? Paul knew that these troubles were achieving and working in his life a eternal glory that far outweighs all of the troubles that he went through. He says, look, life is just like this long. Eternity's like this long. A momentary trouble? Yeah, it's bad. It's tough. I'm going through it. Eternity with God. It's a light and momentary affliction when I think about eternity with the Father. He says this. He knows that our trials are temporary, but the glory is eternal. The Bible promises an incredible reward for those who endure. Back to James. James chapter 1 verse 12 says this. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. Galatians 6:9 encourages us by saying this. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Church, Jesus said this in Matthew, and I'm closing up. We're going to get you to Sunday school and small group time just in a moment. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, the one who endures to the end will be saved. You're going to go through some stuff. Your endurance is not achieved through your sheer willpower. We'll never be able to do it on our own. You cannot see yourself through this world and walk in the pearly gates at the end. To persevere in Jesus is what the Bible calls us to do. It says if you lay down your life, You surrender your life. You're going through some stuff. The stuff should bring you joy because the joy is a process of sanctification. You're becoming more like Jesus, that one day when you see him face to face, you'll leave all this stuff behind and you'll stand in glory and the sickness is gone and all the pain is done and forever and ever is there waiting for you. But you got to get through this world. You can only do it through his power and not your own. It is not our willpower. Your endurance is a gift of God's grace. We're kept by the power of the Holy Spirit. He guarantees our salvation. He's going to keep us strong till the end. So let me just recap that real quick. It ain't about you. It's about him. He will keep you strong to the end. He will work in your life to make you more like Jesus. This world will not stand for Christian principles. Just look at it. Turn on the news. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be going through some trials. God empowers us with that second wind to finish the race. So no matter what you're going through today, no matter what you're facing, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. He will see you through it. In the weirdest way possible, find the joy that the scripture talks about. Lord, I'm going through this, and it hurts. God, what are you going to do through me? What are you going to teach me? How am I becoming more like Jesus through this? Lord, it hurts and I don't want to go through it, but at the end of it, I know you're making me more like you. So you get the glory and you get the honor. Hold on to your faith. Rely on his grace when you think you can't go one more step and press toward that finish line with joy and hope. Listen, he is where the joy is. We have to find our way in this world with the map that he gives us. No matter what you're going through today, know this, we love you, we're praying for you, and we want to pray for you. Just know this, at the end, the race will be all worth it. Let's pray together. Father, you're an awesome God. I love you so much. Thank you for just being who you are. We look forward to seeing you face to face one day. But here's the truth. We got to go through this world. Lord, we're going to see some tough stuff and some tough times. Lord, help us from here on out to approach it with joy. Lord, with this idea that you are working in us. That you be making us more like you. And we realize that the only way through this world is to make it in your power and not our own. So help us to do that. I pray for that person, that young woman, that young man, that older woman, that child, whoever's in here this morning that hears the sound of my voice, Lord, who's going through something, that you would just come alongside them and encourage them and tell them that you're here with them. You're not alone. That you're going to be walking through the valley with them. Lord, and when we get to the other side, that beautiful mountaintop, it's been all about you. So Lord, give us an awesome small group time and study this morning as we continue just learning about you. You be praised and honored. We love you in Jesus' name.